The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Keith Stewart, PGA professional with 25 years of club pro experience. Keith, welcome to Sports Interview.
Anne, thanks so much for having me on. I can't wait to see what we get into.
Well, you are the director of fun, as you say. So we are going to focus on your new obsession, betting in golf. All right. How have you become such a huge, passionate golf gambler?
Well, you know what, Anne? That's a really good question, because golf just in general is so popular right now. It's more popular than it's ever been. And trust me, I know, because I was an apprentice or an assistant professional from 98 to 2003 at Isleworth, where Tiger was. So, I mean, I lived in the middle of the Tiger boom, and I know now that it's more popular than ever, and there's different ways for people to consume the game. And as a PGA professional, it's my job to try to reach out and connect and engage those folks. And I want to make sure we maintain this popularity. And one of the things that's always caught my eye is, you know, having a little bit fun with wagering. And it's becoming more and more popular in golf, and there's more ways to do it. So I took those two worlds and I said, hey, you know what? I can combine my PGA experience and those that are entertaining themselves through gambling and golf. And I bring that together, and here we are.
Well, let's go back. I know it started in 2018 when 21 states and Washington, D.C., joined Nevada in permitting illegal sports betting. And that was a major turnaround for golf, because for the longest time, the former commissioners, Tim Finchem and Dean Beaman, they were really opposed to gambling.
Well, it's been very interesting. Once things became legal and the technology caught up, the PGA Tour was one of the first sports leagues to jump on board. And, you know, that kind of tells you something. It tells you that they were very aware of where the future of this sports vertical was going.
Well, what about critics who may call it, a money grab for the PGA Tour?
Well, I could tell you it's not run by Saudi Arabia, you know, so maybe that's better. I mean, as far as current events go. Now, all kidding aside, as far as it being a money grab, I think that most people are kind of missing the point. I think that fantasy sports and that kind of gambling, which kind of gets lumped into one big, you know, kind of pot there, and sportsbook gambling are getting more people interested in whatever game it is that they're wagering on. And of course, we're specifically talking about golf, but, you know, there's a couple misconceptions you have to throw out the window. This is not back alley gambling where, you know, people are running up $1,000 tabs and then they can't pay them. You know, these are online digital sites that are all reputable and they're all secure. You can only bet what you put in. So that makes it safe. So from a responsible gambling point of view, there's that perspective. But then the other thing is that people bet $1, $2 bets, or, I mean, Ann, you play golf, okay? Golfers bet all the time, but they bet within their foursome or their group or a couple groups, at the club you're at, go out for Ladies Day, and then they bet amongst one another. This is just on a grander scale. We're just taking something that's kind of been the lifeblood of the game for a long time and making it, you know, digitally accessible, which I think is kind of great because people get more involved.
So I know DraftKings became the official betting operator of the tour. You have FanDuel, you have all these mobile phone apps. So there's so many ways that you can bet. Take us through the basics. How does one place bets in golf?
That's a great question. And I'm happy you brought that up, because I believe as a PGA professional, one of the cool things I can do, you know, with what I'm trying to bring to the table here is that I like to coach people. I mean, I've taught the game for over 10,000 hours in my career over those 25 years you talked about. And I think that coaching still needs to be a part of what the fabric of what I do. And when somebody wants to go place a bet, they need to go log in or create a login on an operator. Do I favor one over the other? No, I don't. It could be Caesars, FanDuel, DraftKings. You mentioned PointsBet's a great one. You go on and you log in and you deposit some money, $10, $20, $50. Okay. And you can place $1, $2, $3 bets. And you would go on there and you would figure out, you know, who do you think is going to win? Or there's all sorts of fun prop bets that you can do in golf that we only see around the Super Bowl, right? You know, in other sports, it's always been like, oh, the coin toss or how long, you know, the national anthem is going to be. Well, with golf, you can do that every week. You know, there's fun things like who's going to be the low American this week or the low European or, you know, what the winning score be? Will there be a playoff? I mean, there's all sorts of fun ways to engage, but you got to get on there and you got to figure it out. These apps are super easy to use. They're very friendly. They're just like your smartphone. You can figure it out. They're very intuitive. And they only allow you to bet what you put in, which I think is safe.
And live betting is very much what's done, right? It has really revolutionized the industry.
So live betting in the last, let's say, 12 months in, you know, mobile betting space is now become almost 80% of the handle. And the handle is the amount of money that's coming in that's being bet, right? So it just in the last 12 months, there's been a huge shift. And one of the reasons for that is actually golf, because golf is the best sport that you can live bet. And you may ask why, and everyone that's listening, it's quite simple. It's really tough to bet live on LeBron James or Tom Brady, because, you know, the ball's always moving around and like, who's going to be the influencing factor? It might be an offense and a defense. If I want to live bet Rory McIlroy, he always has the ball. He's going to play a hole and there's going to be a result. And that's what a bet is determining a result and having a winner and a loser. So that's why live betting has just taken off. And that has really been kind of a pivot point where the whole business has gotten so many people engaged in whatever game that they're betting.
So take us back to your own personal betting. You know, what did you do in the last couple of weeks? Who'd you bet on? How much did you win? How much did you lose? Take us through all that.
Well, I think that it's been a good run since January. I'm not going to lie. I've spent a lot of time working on this. I've built a business around it. And it's become very popular online for people to, you know, reach out to me. I mean, I'm the only PGA professional online that's making these types of predictions. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of wonderful sports writers and analysts that are doing it. And then there's a lot of people on social media that are kind of pushing things out there. But I feel like as a member of the largest sports organization in the world, the PGA of America, that it kind of helps to get people involved in the game. If somebody like myself, who's an expert, steps up and says, hey, you know what? I might do it this way. Well, you know what? With my background, whether it's thinking about an approach in architecture, because what is the golf course like? How do the golfers fit each course? Who's going to play well? Who putts on a certain type of grass? All of these factors I take into account. And I've picked three winners in the last 6 weeks, two in the last three. I mean, I had Luke List at 90-1 odds to win at Torrey. And people would say, well, how'd you think that was going to happen? Well, when I start to take into all the factors that I look at on a weekly basis to figure this out, it just was like, you know what? I think he's one of two or three guys that can win this week. And last week I had Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, people would say, well, how'd you come up with Scottie Scheffler? Well, he's a really aggressive player. Look at the winners that have won at WM Phoenix Open. You know, Hideki, Phil, Brooks, real aggressive players. There's a way to look inside the stats and try to figure out how a man or a woman plays a golf course. And I'm sure we'll get into this at some point, but I love to make predictions for the LPGA as well. Both sides, again, I'm a PGA professional. I believe in growing the game and getting people more engaged. And, you know, that's why I cover both the men and the women. And people get really excited about betting on the LPGA because they have some really amazing superstars like Nelly and Jin Young Ko, who are like Tiger back in his prime. People feel like if they bet them, they're going to win.
Scottie Scheffler, you picked Scottie Scheffler to win the Phoenix Open. That must have been a huge payday.
It was 25-1. And on top of that, I also made a prediction in my newsletter that it would be in a playoff. So I got 3-1 odds on that as well. So I guess 28-1. So I was probably the only one in America who wasn't upset when he missed that 5.5-footer on the 72nd hole. You know, but I mean, people would say, well, why a playoff? I said, well, the last 15 years, there's been 7 playoffs and 6 one-stroke winners. So you look at that field, they had 6 of the top 10 in the world, and then look at the leaderboard. This is the way things are going to pan out. And you have to pay attention to all of these factors, and that's what I love to do.
So it takes a lot of time because obviously player statistics weigh heavily into making bets, right? You have to look at those statistics, go to the shop link, right? And just figure it out and spend so much time just looking at everybody's stats.
Well, you know what? This goes exactly into the point of why I built a business, was to help golfers, right? Everybody wants to bet in golf, and you want to bet in golf, but you're busy. You know, you're interviewing people, you are, you know, a media personality, you are running all over the place, but you want to be involved with your friends in that water cooler conversation on golf and gambling. So I provide this newsletter called Read the Line that you can read in 5 minutes a week, and then you can have a little bit of betting confidence. You know, like I just want to raise everyone's betting acumen. And I do little fun things in there, like teach them about, like what you asked earlier, how to bet or what bets are important. And then I also throw in there who I think will win, and I cover the men and women. It's tons of fun for me as a golf professional who spent 25 years at a course working and, you know, really always talking about the game, to now share that love and that passion for wagering with as many people as possible.
So it's called Read the Line. And how often does this come out?
Once a week. So if there's golf going on every Wednesday, you could go online, readtheline.com, subscribe, you'd read and you win.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you're analyzing each week's event, every player, what their stats are, and you're recommending who to put your money on?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Wow. Okay. That does save you a lot of time.
I mean, literally, that my consumer is somebody who's busy and they want to bet. And I mean, you got to understand something. Golf is so popular for betting, not just because we know who has the ball, but let's say, who are you a football fan of, Ann?
Oh, I grew up in Cleveland. You know, I love to see the Browns do well, but my father's from Pittsburgh. So look at that Steelers-Browns rivalry, huh? I actually have always rooted for the Steelers through the years, even though I grew up in Ohio.
All right, so the Steelers. So at the beginning of the year, let's say their odds back in August to win the Super Bowl were 30-1, okay? Let's just make something up, all right? You have to wait 7 months for them to win the Super Bowl in order to get payback on 30-1. And bettors love to win and get their money back, right? Well, in golf, I can give you 30-1 in 4 days. I mean, I just did it with Scottie Scheffler. So 4 days versus 7 months. This is why I looked at, in a macro view, the whole betting landscape and said, golf is just going to explode. Look at its popularity in general right now. Combine that with this vertical, and we got to get PGA pros involved in this because we're the ambassadors of the game.
So your philosophy is that gambling in golf grows the game. But what's the downside of all of this? I mean, obviously you have to be a responsible gambler, but a lot of people don't have the restraint you may have, Keith.
There's no doubt about that, Ann. And I'm not going to sit there and say I'm up in this big ivory tower and ignore all of the, you know, some of the negative storylines that surround gambling. But what I can tell you is this, is that there are ways that people can gamble, like with fantasy sports, where you and I, we could find five friends and seven of us can just gamble week in and week out. It doesn't have to be with a betting operator, okay? We can all kind of be a little more self-aware. We could understand, you know, maybe if we have a little bit of addictive personality, let's not bet all the outrights every week. Maybe let's just start a league amongst ourselves. And, you know, 10 years ago, everyone had to do that on a piece of paper or an Excel spreadsheet. And now we can engage in these websites like a DraftKings, where you can join a community of 20 or 30 people. So it's not like you're just betting in your foursome anymore. You know, there's an actual community building aspect to the game that's going on. And please, everyone, understand me. I get it. They love on social media, the operators to say, oh, this person gambled $10,000 to win $20,000. That's not the point. The average bettor is only gambling $3 or $4 per bet. They just want to have a little bit of entertainment, and you got to keep that in mind. Can we go too far? We can go too far in anything in life. I mean, and we live outside New York City. We see it all the time, right? You know, I mean, it's a life of excess. But in this particular case, you can have a lot of fun for $10, $20 a week just betting the golf. And then come Sunday, let's say your favorite golfer isn't necessarily in it in the back nine, but someone that you bet is, geez, you are really engaged in the game. Just like as if you're playing and you're in a match on the golf course.
All right, let's give an example. So with the Masters coming up, what are you thinking about? How are you preparing? And what's your advice when betting on the Masters?
Okay, so Augusta is like one of the top three courses for predictive winners, all right, and how people finish there. Which what that means in my terms is just that if you look at historical data, the people that play well there always play well there. Okay, look at Tiger over the years, Jack, but down the line, when you start to look at a broader landscape of players, look at the last 5 years of who played. Those same names are going to be near the top of the leaderboard. All right. That's number one when it comes to Augusta. Augusta is a second shot golf course, right? So you got to look at those approach numbers. How good of an iron player are there? The best iron players in the game all time are Jack and Tiger. They have 11 green jackets. Okay. There's no mystery involved in all of that. And the third thing I'm definitely going to look at in Augusta is who can make the most 5 to 10 footers, because around Augusta, you can't three putt. You got to avoid those bogeys. So at the end of the day, it's not about playing from the rough there. It's about local knowledge, your comfort in that scene. I mean, think about it. It's the only major that they play every year, the same golf course. So we have a ton of historical data for the best players in the world. Those would be three things I would look at. And I would have some fun with it. I would bet the par three who was going to win. And I would $2 on somebody to play very well, or, you know, which former champion's going to make the cut, you know, things like that. Will the US amateur champion make the cut? Those are the types of things I think are really neat when it comes to something like the tradition, unlike any other, the Masters.
So would you look at more what their previous performances have been at Augusta National during the Masters, or stats leading into the Masters as far as putting goes and that kind of thing? What weighs more heavily?
Okay. I'm going to go 60%, 65, let's say 2/3. I'm going to go on their history there, and then 1/3 on their current form. And I would keep it pretty tight to their last 4 or 5 tournaments. So I want to know how they're doing from basically Genesis until Augusta and how they're ramping up. You know, a lot of times, and one of the reasons why I'm only giving that like 1/3 of the weight is that I know that, you know, back in the day at Isleworth, Tiger used to do certain things in preparation. He didn't care how he played at certain events leading up to it. He was going to hit Augusta-like shots. And I know that a lot of people that are disciples of Tiger out on tour do the same sort of thing. So if they're not getting the results that they necessarily want, but they're prepping, you know, if Jordan is a little bit shaky going into Augusta, he's still going to be great at Augusta. Jordan Spieth, right? So it's a great question. I would go 2/3 on history there, recent history there, and I'd go 1/3 on their stats in 2022 spring.
All right. Can you bet if Tiger's going to play or not? Say, if Tiger plays, do you pick him to win?
I can't pick him to win. From a betting perspective. Now, I am a huge Tiger fan. I grew up, he's 2 years younger than me. And I spent, you know, my formative years there at Isleworth getting to know him personally. I spent a lot of time with Tiger, got to talk to him, got to appreciate a lot of the things he does to prepare. It'd kind of be like, you know, working with Tom Brady or Michael Jordan in their prime, you know, just really kind of feeding off of the way that they look at how to compete and what drives them. So, it's going to be really tough. It's a tough walk, you know, let's just start there. I mean, the hills, you know, and it goes down 5 stories, the 10th hole alone. You know, I think you go down 8 stories between the 10th tee and the 12th green. So, you know, I think that it would be a very tough walk for him for 4 days. If Tiger plays because of his history there, will he make the cut? Yes. Could he be in the top 40? Absolutely. 100%. And I would bet that, but to win, that'd be a tough one.
I was going to ask you, what would the bet be on Tiger?
Yeah, the bet would be if he plays, I would look at the odds for a top 40. And if I could get really good odds on a top 20, I would hit him for that for sure. And I think that I would feel very confident on the first one, and I would feel semi-confident on the second one if he were able to play, which I think he will. You know, I think if you want to take a really good bet, I would bet that he's going to play.
I'm sure. And is that possible to bet on that? Do they have that category?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Gosh, what don't they have? So when do you have to make that bet? I mean, is there a deadline?
Well, and to give an idea,
before the tournament starts, before the championship starts, but
and the odds always change. So let's just say the odds are what they are today as you and I talk. If a month from now he plays in an event leading up to Augusta, those odds are going to go way down, right? And you're not going to be able to make as much money. So if you wanted to make that bet, as you hear this, everyone, you'd want to jump on it now.
Right.
I'll give you an idea. So the week after he had the car accident, the tragic car accident, he was 3-1 odds to play in a major this year.
In 2022.
In 2022. And okay. I'm such a huge Tiger fan. I was like, he will do it. He will overcome all the odds. I'm going to bet that right now.
So you placed that bet last, what, February?
Yeah, I think it was like February 27th, right around then.
What were the odds then?
It was 3-1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't very high, but at the same time, for me as a fan, it was almost like, when he shows up at a major next year, I'm going to be winning by the fact that he just pegs
it. He
just shows up. And think about it. I mean, how is he going to miss? Well, there's always Augusta, but it's the 150th Open Championship this year at St. Andrews, which he's always said is his favorite golf course in the world. So, I just thought to myself, wow, if Tiger can walk away from this accident, he's going to play again. And he's always going to be invited to a major. He can play in all of them.
And what do you think the odds would be now if you were to place the bet that Tiger would play either at the Masters or the Open Championship? What would the odds be now?
Oh, I would think it would be flipped. You wouldn't get 3-1. It would be more like, you know, it would be he would be a favorite to show up at those, and the odds would be beneath. So the money line would be minus, you know. And I can't even imagine, because those brokers are so good at what they do. And what it is they seem to know when it comes down to these things sometimes, which are crazy. I mean, you look at just the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago when, you know, they're right there in the midst of it. You know, the line was 4.5, 4, depending on where you got it and which time of the 2 weeks leading up to the event. And somebody won by 3. So, you know, there's always people on both sides. They're always right there. I would just say that that's not a good bet anymore, because he's going to play in one this year.
All right. Yeah. So cancel that one out. But so coming up to the Masters, how many, just give us some of the categories. How many do you think you'll bet? How many categories?
I will pick 2 or 3 outrights that I think will win. And then past that, getting into what they call prop bets or proposition bets, which are similar to the ones we were talking about in the Super Bowl. So the ones that are the top 5s, the top 30s, the top 40s, it might be like low player to finish over the age of 50. There might be ones like low Australian player, you know, all of those. I will probably bet, between live betting and pre-tournament, probably 20 of those on top of it.
At the major championships, would you do the same week to week? PGA Tour or no?
No, PGA Tour, I generally just dive into about somewhere between 5 and 10 props. Same on matchups. I mean, matchups are one thing that, you know, is really a lot of fun to look into, because when it comes to golf, you can match two guys up and you always have a score at the end of the day. I can't match up, you know, necessarily stat lines for two different players and then come up with a good, you know, betting line, because they play against two different defenses. Or so when you look at something like take any given week where Rahm and Morikawa show up, you could bet them head to head. And that's fun. They don't even have to play in the same group. They're just playing the same tournament. So I think that, you know, one of the things you brought up a really savvy point earlier about how popular live betting has become, right? Well, if you talk about inside of live betting, matchups are huge. Matchups take a ton of handle in. People are really into matchups. It's like, basically, it's like Sunday at the Ryder Cup every week. And you know, we always thought that the Ryder Cup Sunday was the most popular day of the event, which was the most popular event in golf. And now they've taken that to every event. So you put Ryder Cup Sunday into a Masters Sunday and you start betting head-to-head matchups, people get really fired up and it turns it almost into like a football game on a Sunday, which is why it's becoming so popular. And it's only going to continue to get exponentially more and more popular.
So give us a typical day in your life during say a major championship, if you're not at the championship yourself, what are you? You're in front of a television holding your iPhone, looking at all your bets. What, I can't even imagine what you're doing. People who are just so, you know, into this whole gambling thing.
I'm a bit old school, so I like to write things down. And so there's very rarely you won't find me without a piece of cardstock, because I can write on it without, you know, having to need something hard underneath it and a pencil. So I always have multiple pencils on me, and I'm always writing things down. And then I just carry that around in my pocket all the time. When I'm working, I'm just on a laptop and I'm looking at all these different factors. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. And what a lot of your listeners probably don't know is that there's a whole business that surrounds this, where there's statistical data, and you've got sites like Fantasy National Golf Club, where people can go join and they pay a fee and they can get every stat from the PGA Tour over the last decade or two. From every golf course, and people can dive into this stuff. And that's why I believe that it's so that this is going to take off, or it's going to engage more golfers, because well, you would know this, Anne, right? The average age of a person that watches golf on TV is 64. Okay. The average bettor is 37.
Yes.
So, I mean, if as a golf professional or as an ambassador or spokesperson for the game, if I want to change the narrative, I need to go after younger generations. Well, those younger generations are proving that they're using, you know, over the top media, or they're streaming and they're gambling and they're using their smartphones. So that is my way to engage with them. And at a private club, like I had been for 25 years, I just don't have that opportunity. The private club doesn't have, you know, smartphone apps and ways to communicate in that fashion. That's what got me on the radio. I just wanted to talk to more people about how great the game was. And then this is just a natural evolution from there, because I think that within 2 or 3 years, the betting golf landscape will just be enormous. It'll be number three behind football and NBA. There's no
doubt. Well, from what I read in 2019, golf accounted for about 1% of all legal betting. I don't know what the stat is 2 years, you know, 2 or 3 years later, 2022, but I'm sure that's grown tremendously since 2019. I agree with you. I think it's exploding. The LPGA Tour, they signed an agreement with IMG Arena, which is a London-based sports betting service. What about the LPGA? We mentioned it a little bit earlier. Do you think more and more people are betting on the women?
Oh, there's no doubt. And, you know, a lot of that also, for that to grow, has to do with the LPGA making the deal that they did with IMG Arena. They are a statistical collection agency or outfit, and then they provide the data and verify it to the betting operators, right? So the PGA Tour uses IMG Arena too. So it, once that they made that deal, you knew that they were all in on trying to build this connection to the golf fan through a little bit of wagering. The one thing where the LPGA, and I've spoken to them, and, you know, as a PGA professional, I have some wonderful connections there. And, you know, Molly Marcoux-Simon, who is the now the commissioner, I worked across the street from her for 7 years when I was the head pro at Springdale. So Molly and I are tight enough that we talk, and, you know, she is all in on this, and she knows that I've looked at the landscape thoroughly, and they truly believe that they can create a lot more connection with their fans, because a betting fan uses their smartphone. They stream things. And the LPGA needs to look at those alternative methods for getting their product to their fans. Like I read about this maybe a week or two ago in the Los Angeles Times. It's the Women's Sports Network that's being started. It's gonna be 24 hours of women's sports. Well, I mean, and it's a shame. Of all total sports media coverage, only 4% is women-only sports, right? So 96% is men's only sports. And, you know, I think that number really needs to shift and change. And I think that this is a way to do that. With a women's sports only network, the LPGA is a partner of them. They're going to be on there featured. People need to go on and talk about either fantasy or regular sportsbook betting with the LPGA. And that will draw fans in immediately, because if people feel like they can bet and win, they're going to get really engaged and they're going to get fired up about the LPGA. And it's easy to get fired up about them because, I mean, they have these unbelievable superstar stories right now. I mean, people think it's cool to talk about Colin Morikawa versus Jon Rahm for number one and two in the world. But at the end of the day, that Jin Young Ko battle with Nelly Korda that we witnessed the second half of last year, and what's going to take place this year when, you know, the LPGA kind of ramps up their season at the Chevron in about, what, 45 days, you know, or something like that. That's really going to be something that people are going to want to bet on. You talk about matchups. I mean, that's the best matchup in golf head to head.
I love your enthusiasm, particularly for gambling on the LPGA Tour as well. Keith, before I let you go, give us a great tidbit. Give us something that we should think about as far as putting our money down on a player or, you know, anything. Give us just leave us with some genius advice.
Ooh, some genius. Wow. you're implying that I'm a genius. All right. I'll say two quick things. Number one, everybody, this is entertainment. Okay. If it becomes employment, then you need to think twice about it. And the second thing is that I really like Rahm at the Masters. I like Hovland at Southern Hills. I like Jordan at TCC up in Boston. And I like Tiger at the Open. There you go.
Wow, you are going to put your money on Tiger winning the Open Championship at St. Andrews?
Well, maybe I was just closing with my heart there.
Wow. All right. And remember to gamble responsibly. Keith Stewart, thank you so much. PGA professional and president and founder of ReadTheLine.com. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, subscribe, read, and win. And thanks so much for having me. You're the best. Thank you.
My pleasure. The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast was brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Iceville cooling technology along with SPF 50+ sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkol.com to learn more.